Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in 6 different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Good morning, Our Savior's Church. We are so excited that you're here with us this morning. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name is Pastor Jacob LeBlanc, along with my wife, Grace, who you just met. We are the lead pastors of the New Iberia campus, and today is a big day for you. And y'all know this. I do this at the beginning of every single one of my messages because this is so important to me. If you walked in today and you have not heard this, allow me to the honor of being the first one to tell you, God knew you'd be here today. You might have walked in with weights that maybe the circumstances around your life are weighing you down. You walked in today and it was not an accident. The reason I know that is because I believe the word of God says that God has a plan for your life, plans for a hope, plans for a future. My God has plans to prosper you, not to harm you, that anything that comes into your life that harms you is not of God, but of somebody else. Hello. My God wants great things for you because my God is a loving Father. My God loves you, wants you to know that the circumstances around you don't determine who you are, but He determines who you are. We've been in the middle of this series called New. We've talked about if you want what you've never had, you've got to do what you've never done. And we've been talking through this series of New, our first week. I want to just kind of recap for you. Our first week, we talked about new beginnings. In order to prepare for new beginnings, we had to prepare for something new. We have to release the past and embrace the present. Last week, we shared about new priorities. We shared that it's God first, and then our marriage, and then our family, and then our career, then everything else. But then we took it a step further and said it's not just God then your marriage, it's God in your marriage, God in your family, God in your career. And then last week, we talked about new habits. And I want to share with y'all, if y'all remember what I told y'all last week, y'all remember I did it. If you follow me on Facebook, you saw that I did the push-ups. I'll be honest with you, I didn't do every single day. 5 out of 7 days, I'm doing better. Y'all, that's 5 more days than the week before. Glory. Can you tell? But we talked about habits. We talked about it, the way that we start new habits is you have to understand your why. So many times we get focused on the results, but we don't know why. We have to change who it is that we want to become so that the results take care of themselves. We've got to start. If you want a new habit, you got to start somewhere. And then you also have to stop some old ones. And we talked about what that looks like. Today, we're going to take a different turn a little bit. Today, we're going to talk about new relationships. We're going to talk about new relationships. See, have you ever been to the gym and you see that guy who is just all bulked up? Like the guy that walks by and you're like, all right, bro, like for real? Like maybe looks like this guy, you know what I'm talking about? So you see that guy, you're like, all right, he definitely works hard. But then he walks past you and you see the full picture and you're like, oh, I think you forgot something down there. That's messed up. I don't know who that guy is. That's so messed up. But I think from this picture, you can get the sense that he worked on what he was really good at, but maybe neglected something he probably wasn't. See, sometimes in our relationships, we can focus on the things that we're really, really good at, but we tend to neglect the things that we should probably work on that build up our foundation. So today, I want to talk to you about a couple of things that have the tendency of sabotaging our relationships. And then we're gonna focus on how to build those back up. Do me a favor, turn with me in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to start in chapter 4. We're going to read a short passage, and then we're going to jump into the Word. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. If you don't have your Bible, it's okay. We'll put it up on the screen behind us. It says this. It says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves unified in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. That word peace is a word that means wholeness. In the Greek, it literally translates to wholeness. Paul wanted the church at Ephesus to be in complete wholeness, but that word also has a second definition. That word actually says that it's a state of tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war. That's the definition I want to focus on, because how many of you know when there are conflicts in your relationships, sometimes it can feel like it is a war between you and that other person. I don't know about you, but something rises up in me whenever that happens. I'm a bit of a confronter. I like to address relationship issues. So most of the time, it didn't go my way. But I believe it's important that as in relationship, we seek complete peace, which is wholeness, but also the opposite of that, where we go against anything that has war and conflict. See, the first characteristic that can sabotage your relationship can sometimes be our own selfishness. Selfishness can sabotage our relationships so fast. I remember back whenever Grace and I lived in Missouri, we had put in an offer on the house. I kind of shared that with y'all a couple weeks ago, kind of keeping that theme, I guess. But we were working on some things with the house, and back then Oliver was about 2 years old, and Grace had stepped out to go handle some things, so I was being dad and mom and house negotiator. So I was on the phone with the real estate agent, and she was trying to tell me some things that needed to happen, and then Oliver kept running up to me, "Dad, Dad, Dad." I would say, "Oliver, buddy, go play for a second. Let Daddy talk on the phone." And he would run around the table. Then he would come back. "Dad, Dad, 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 watch me run around the table. Dad, watch me run around the table. Oliver, I can't right now. Go play. I promise I'm going to get to you." Then he'd run around, come back. "Dad, Dad, Dad." And out of frustration, I said, "Oliver, let me talk on the phone." And he looked at me. He goes, "You got 2 minutes." And he walked away. If you know Oliver, it's a whole lot funnier. But I think what's so funny about that situation was God was showing me that he was a mirror of how I had been treating him. He was learning how to be demanding. He was learning how to be selfish. He was learning how to have his own needs met, but he had to learn it from somebody. And I think in this moment, God was teaching me, you have to give grace to other people who are selfish, because I think there's a point in all of our lives, and I don't know if it's when you were younger, I don't know if it's as you get older, it doesn't matter, but there's always going to be a point in our lives where we believe that our need is the most important thing on the face of the planet, where it's all about us and all about what we need and how can we get what we need. And this is a tough one sometimes, because it takes tough questions that we have to ask ourselves to identify if we're being selfish. Like, am I constantly focused on myself? Is this all about me? Does everything I do have an ulterior motive behind it? Do I have the mindset, well, if you do, then I will? I'll be honest with you. As a high D personality, I like to focus on results. I'm a type A. I'm a go-getter. I focus on the results. I focus on the benefits. I focus on what I can get. But a lot of times that can have a damaging effect on my relationships. See, we become sort of like a vacuum. We tend to suck up everything we can out of a relationship. As long as you're still giving, I'm going to keep taking. And then when we're done with that relationship, it's like, all right, well, I'm going to move on to the next person that can give me things. Maybe you're better than me, but I know I can be that way. Maybe you're a lot holier than I am, but I can identify the things in me that I know I need to work on. And for me, I can find myself being a little bit of a vacuum. The relationship is more about what we get than what we give. But why do we act like that? A lot of times for people like me, it's usually rooted out of a deep insecurity. It's usually rooted out of I'll tell you why for me. In my life, as I've grown up in leadership, as I've grown up in the faith, people have taken advantage of me. People have hurt me. I've been open with people, and that has turned around and bit me. I deal with the ability to trust people. That's what I deal with. I don't know if you're like that. You're probably way holier than I am, but I deal with having to trust people. That's hard for me because I know the things that I've gone through have proven to me that people can't be trusted. I have a fear of being taken advantage of. The problem is that as a believer, if you're a Christian or if you even are considering this thing Christianity, God did not give us that spirit of fear. And in fact, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline." That is what comes from God. When we're honest with ourselves, we can be honest with others. And when we view ourselves as we should, we tend to want to serve others and not to be served. I sound like anybody you know? See, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Jesus kept telling everybody, "Hey, I'm not here to be served. I'm not here to sit on a throne. I'm here to grab a towel so I can serve everybody." That's what I'm called to do. And when you have the power and the power, the love, the self-discipline, which comes from the Holy Spirit, which comes from God, you want to serve. You don't want to receive. So in order to prevent selfishness in a relationship, make sure that you're evaluating yourself constantly. How do we do that? Oh, this word. Vulnerability. Ooh, we got to get vulnerable. Y'all, I'm just telling you, this is one of the hardest things for me to do. I've been burned by people I've been vulnerable with. But I've got to get vulnerable with myself. When you think about the best, most fulfilling, most rewarding relationships you've ever had in your life, they are a result of being vulnerable. In fact, I'll say it this way. Your level of relationship is based on your level of vulnerability. If you're wondering why you can't be close with anybody, ask yourself, have I been open with anybody? We have to be so open with people, knowing that there is a possibility they may hurt us. I'm not saying tell everybody in the world what you're going through. That's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, I heard Pastor Jacob say this before, and I've told you this before. There's certain people you can show your undershirt to, and there's certain people you can show your underwear to. Relationally, not physically. Look, if it ain't your spouse, you better cover up your underwear. But there is a level of vulnerability that you have to have with people. Because honestly, if you don't have 2 to 3 people that can speak into your life and say, "Hey, I see something in you that you might need to bring to God." I have several people in my life. Pastor Jacob is one of them. And usually, I asked Pastor Jacob this one time. I said, "Pastor, if there's anything that I have not like revealed to you, if there's anything in my life that I haven't opened to you, can you please tell me?" He goes, "You don't need to tell me anything. I'm going to dig anyway." I love that. You want to know why? Because he loves my wife and I. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to have the best relationship because I can't be the pastor that you need unless I'm loving my wife the best. I can't be who you need me to be unless I'm who she needs me to be. And I'm open with my wife. I'm open with my pastor. But I've also got a couple of friends that I go to. How did I find them? I'll say it this way. We do something around here that helps people connect with each other. It's called small groups. In fact, we're launching next weekend. Can I tell you first off, because a lot of times you're like, "Well, what is small groups?" Let me tell you what small groups is not, okay? Small groups is not a group of people who sit around singing Kumbaya and telling their deepest, darkest secrets. Can I tell you something? That gets weird. We are going to focus on not being weird. Small groups for us is, hey, you like to eat? Hey, I bet there's a lot of people in here like to eat. Let's get together and eat. Glory. Jeez, that's a small group I'll join anytime. Maybe some of y'all like to play golf. Maybe some people want to go deep into a Bible study. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to be a theologian to be a small group leader. You just have to be obedient and say, hey, I want to build friends. I want to build a relationship. I want people in my life that I can be honest with. Am I saying you're going to find 15 BFFs? No. But you might find one or two people that you say, you know what, I really connect with that person. I really can see myself, that person, or better yet, ooh, this is the one that I like. Maybe you see somebody that's a little bit further along in their journey with Christ than you are, and you say, man, I wonder how they got to their place. Hey, they have a phenomenal marriage. I'd love to have a marriage like them one day. Small groups is where people's lives are built. It's where our lives are built. There's three people in your life that you need at all times. You need somebody to be a Paul to you. Paul was the father. He was an apostle. He was the one that fathered Timothy. He fathered, God, I could name tons of people. But Paul was the pastor. He was the apostle. But then you have your Barnabases, the people that you do life with, your community with. These are the people that they're on the same level as you. Hey, we're just walking this journey. We're friends. We're going to watch the LSU game. Glory, hallelujah. That was a good win last night. But then you also have to have some Timothys in your life, people that you are helping take on their next step of their journey. A Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. You have to have people around you at all times. This is where small groups can come into play. You're not too late. You haven't lost the train yet. The train's going to kick off next week. I promise you, you're going to want to get involved with small groups because that's where real relationships are being built. So to keep from being selfishness, depend and trust on the critique of your closest friends. Selfishness can sabotage your relationship, but be careful of the second one. Ooh, this one's hard, y'all. Take a deep breath. Unforgiveness. You want to sabotage your relationship, bring in unforgiveness in your heart. Colossians 3:13 says, we make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. What was the first thing Jesus said on the cross? You remember? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. If we're to be more like Christ, we have to forgive. Unforgiveness is the silent killer that creeps into your relationship undetected. Unforgiveness is always the result of a relationship mishap. Sometimes they're not intentional. But have you ever been in a relationship where the other person brought in some baggage? If you haven't, it's because you have all the baggage. Oh, nobody ever brings baggage. Yeah, because you've already dumped all yours on them. The thing about unforgiveness is that it's hard to see. It's hard to see things as they actually are. It's like having a pair of glasses. Like, I'm grateful I brought my good glasses today. But I've got a couple of pair of glasses. I can't see anything right now. But I've got a couple of pair of glasses that I had from a long time ago. They're all scratched up. I can hardly see anything out of them because they've got scratches. Unforgiveness is like a pair of glasses that's all scratched up. You can't see things clearly. When there's unforgiveness in your relationships, when there's unforgiveness in the people that you love the most, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, you will never be able to see them for who God's called them to be. Because our purpose in life is not to treat people the way that we want them to be treated. We treat people how God would treat them. How would Jesus treat them? And anytime we have unforgiveness, it puts another scratch on our glasses. Another scratch to the point where you might not be able to see anything. Oh, glory to God. I can see clearly. The rain is gone. No, I'm not going to do that. The more unforgiveness you have, the harder it is to see what you're looking at. What lens are you viewing your life through? Unforgiveness distorts our relationships. And some of us may have walked in today and God's telling you that this is the church that you're supposed to be at. But maybe for some of you, you've experienced some church hurt. God, if there is one thing that bothers me more than anything else, it's church people. Let me say it this way. It's Christians that don't look like Christ. I love the fact that Jesus spent a majority of his time yelling at church people. He spent so much of his time loving people who really needed love, but chastising church people. Because sometimes when we receive Jesus, we think we're better than everybody else. Glory to God. I've been a believer for 40 years, glory. Yeah, but you stink. You smell like a spirit of religion. You smell. You know what? Sometimes we have to reach people who don't look like us so that they can see the Jesus in us. But we will never be able to reach who we want to reach if we have unforgiveness from the hurt that we've experienced from church people. Y'all, we've been around as OSC almost a year. Y'all, we're almost a year into this thing. Almost a year. But for a long time, people have been turned off, and not just by this church, but by church in general. Because hurt people walk into those doors, walk into these doors, walk into the doors of other churches. They walk into the doors and they smell the religious stink. Because all they receive is judgment. When what Jesus is telling you, show them love. Show them love. And unforgiveness in our own heart can cause us to treat other people with a distorted view. So the key to unlocking forgiveness, I know this is going to be very, very deep, but we forgive. We forgive. And that's the answer is simple, but the action's tough. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Forgiveness is never meant for the other person. Forgiveness is always meant for you. Think about it. If somebody messes with you, somebody says something bad about your mama, they're not the ones losing sleep. You are. We forgive so that we can get past this. We don't forgive so that they can feel better about themselves. They ain't thinking about you. Because most people that talk bad about you, they just spitting venom because they spitting venom on everybody. They don't know it. You forgive so that your heart can be made pure, so that you can pursue them in the right relationship. Look back at what the scripture says. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other. Oh. Sometimes we might have to get out of our comfort zone and tell somebody else what you are struggling with. Oh, does that not take vulnerability? Does that not take, hey, look, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Hey, I'm dealing with this right now. Can you help pray for me? That also happens in small groups. Not publicly, but in private. Hey, can I talk to you about something? Finding that person, finding that Barnabas, finding that Paul, finding that Timothy. Hey, can we talk about this? A wise man once said this, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. The key to unlocking forgiveness in your own life is to admit that you've done something wrong, even if that something is having unforgiveness in your heart. When I've taught on forgiveness in the past, I usually did it with students, and I would actually take time out of the service and say, okay, if you have any unforgiveness between somebody here, stand up and go meet with them right now. In the middle of the service, I'm not going to do that to y'all. I'm not going to do that. It'd be real awkward. But the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your anger. Unforgiveness usually roots in anger. It's anger. Somebody messed with me. Somebody said something about me. Somebody did something to me. There's a root of bitterness. There's a root of anger. Find the person you have unforgiveness towards and make things right. Be quick to forgive and give grace. People who can't forgive also deal with the last type of sabotage. Oof, and that's pride. Pride is the silent killer. Because pride is the hardest one to identify. Proverbs 16:5 says this, the Lord, say that word with me, detests. Say it one more time. Say detests. Detest the proud. That's a strong word. How come the word of God didn't say, God, he doesn't see it very highly. No, he said he detests the proud. They will surely be punished. Golly, that is strong language. This is the one in the relationship that no matter what the argument is, they are right. If you can't be right, if you can't be wrong in an argument, you should ask yourself if maybe you got pride. Y'all quiet in here. Most of the time in a relationship, there's two types of people. There's the bulldozer and there's the submissive one. Unfortunately, in my marriage, we have two bulldozers. You knew it was coming. There's two bulldozers. This causes conflict. What is that? What happens when an immovable object comes in contact with an unstoppable force? That is Grace and I. See, the problem with being a bulldozer is that we tend to create environments of division and we don't even realize it. We spend a majority of the time trying to convince other people of our superior intellect when most of the time they've already tuned us out. I have a tendency of trying to bulldoze people, and here's the problem. This removes any opportunity for us to be able to speak into their life. Any opportunity to speak into their life. Therefore, when I try to bulldoze somebody else, they've already tuned me out. I can't share with them what I believe God has for them if I've already run over them. See, a relationship is supposed to be about two people, but pride makes it about one. Pride tells people that you don't need anyone else. The reason God hates pride so much is because you're telling God, I don't need you, I can be my own God. Ooh. Being able to prevent yourself from being proud takes a ton of self-control, especially when we're talking about a subject that we're very, very confident in. So how do you handle that? How do you handle pride? Humility. Humility. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, it says this, imitate God in everything you do because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. For someone like me, it's hard to let others speak into our process. And what I love about Pastor Jacob is that he has somebody speaking into his life. Pastor Jim talks to him on a daily basis. But you know what else is cool is he allows us to be able to speak into his process. He models that for me. Where he'll call me, man of God, this is what I think we should be doing. Man of God, what do you think? Okay, now you tell me what you think. Give me your advice on this. What do you think we should do? What do you think we should do with this? Gives me an opportunity to speak. Me and the executive team get to speak in to how we move the church down the field. I love that. And I do this with my team. We'll be in a meeting. In fact, immediately after this, after I shake everybody's hand, I go to the back and I ask them the question, what about my message needs to change? How can I better communicate what I tried to communicate today? What can I do to be better? And I give each one of them an opportunity to speak into my process. Can I tell you something? As a bulldozer, that is hard to do. That hurts my pride. When somebody tells me I'm not good enough, that hurts my pride. But it takes being humble and saying, it doesn't really matter how I feel about the situation. If I want to be the best pastor that you need, I need to let others speak into my process. I need to let others show me where I need to be better. Make sure that you're allowing yourself the opportunity to be spoken into, and don't be afraid to let your guard down. See, God painted the ultimate picture of relationship, and I'm going to close with this. When he sent Jesus to the earth to live, to die, he was telling us that he cared. God didn't need us to have a relationship with him. He wanted a relationship with us. He wanted that. So he sent his son to create a path for us. See, if God wanted that desperately to be in relationship with you, what more should we do to be in good relationships with other people? I believe relationships are important. But the first relationship that we have to make sure is right is our relationship with God. Maybe you've walked in today and you say, Pastor Jacob, I hear what you're saying about relationships, and I want relationships with the people that are around me, but I feel like I need to make a decision for myself. I'm going to ask you the most important question of your life. Have you been born again? And look, nobody moving around. This is a really, really important part of the message, and I won't keep you much longer. But my question to you is, have you been born again? Well, Pastor Jacob, what does that even mean? Well, just like you have a physical birthday, we believe that you also have a spiritual birthday. In fact, mine was December 13th, the year 2000, right here in this building where the kids are hanging out right now. The pastor preached a message, and I'll be honest, I don't even remember what the message was about. But I remember he asked a question, does anybody want to be born again? And there was something inside me that said, you have to respond. It wasn't for my parents. It wasn't for my sister. It wasn't for my pastor. It was for me. I needed to make that decision. And I made a decision to be born again. Pastor Jacob, what does that look like? What does that even mean? Well, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3, that unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So we want everybody to be in relationship with God. I think it's as easy as ABC. A, we admit. That we've made some mistakes. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made some mistakes. I've made some mistakes. You've made some mistakes. But when we admit it, we allow God to forgive it. B, we believe. We believe that Jesus is who he says he is. That he came down in God form, 100% man, 100% God, died for your sins and for mine. On the third day, rose up. So that we can be in relationship with God the Father. And then see, we confess. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And y'all, this is the tough one. Because by saying Jesus is Lord, you're saying, Jesus, I give you everything inside of me. You have complete control. So I want to ask the question one more time. Would you like to be born again? Every head bowed, every eye closed. In just a second, I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, you want to be born again, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up, get in front of a bunch of people you don't know. All I'm asking you to do is to lift up your hand. And by lifting up your hand, you're saying, Pastor Jacob, pray for me. On the count of three, if you'd like to be born again, please lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift it up right now. Hands going up everywhere. Thank you. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Maybe for somebody in here, you didn't lift up your hand, maybe out of fear of embarrassment, maybe out of fear of what people might think of you. I want to give you one more chance. Right now, your heart's pounding out of your chest because you knew you were supposed to respond. I want to give you one more chance. This is your last chance. If you'd like to be born again, lift up your hand on the count of three. If you've already lifted up your hand, you don't have to do it again. But this is for those that did not respond, that know they need to. This is your chance. This is your last chance. On the count of three, lift it up. One, two, three. Lift up your hand right now. Thank you. One, two, thank you. Thank you. Church, just do me a favor with your heads bowed, eyes closed. Can we pray this prayer together just as a sign of family, just so that nobody feels embarrassed? Say this prayer out loud with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. And I believe that on that cross, you took my sin, you took my shame, you took my guilt, and you died for it. I believe that you faced hell for me so that I wouldn't have to go. You rose again on the third day to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. This moment I confess, this moment I believe that I am born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.